You are listening to Legion of Substitute Podcasters, episode 496, Who Shall Name the Dark Man? And welcome to episode 496 of Legion of Substitute Podcasters. I am Paul French, and today I am iced in, boy. We have had a little winter redux here, and lots of freezing rain, as well as snow. So I know that tomorrow I will be digging cars out of blocks of ice, I think, so... Yeah, so there's that. we've basically been shut-ins all weekend, but I did manage to do a really thorough retidying of the monitor room, and so Irk sits in a proud spot atop the desk, mm-hmm. overlooking a bunch of Legion figures, and everyone has been dusted, and Colossal Boy in particular. he'd gathered some dust, that boy.
Had he?
Poor thing. As had Rorschach over on the other shelf. Herm. Anyway, Herm. Over to you, sir.
Well, hi everybody. Yeah, I am Darren Noel, and I guess this weekend I am. I'm actually been relaxing at home, guy. I'm not iced in.
Yeah.
It's good. Although, Paul, did you go get your toilet paper and your milk and your bread?
You know what?
That's a southern tradition here, so I'm just asking.
Hell no.
Oh, okay. Well, all right then.
You have to go and get your eggs and your milk and your bread, because whenever it snows, there's a big run on French toast, apparently.
There you have it, yes.
Lots of French toast. I've just basically been sitting around doing some spring cleaning. Basically.
Nice.
I went out last night and made a fool of myself, but that's fine.
Oh, well, there you go.
That was a good time.
Look at you.
Yeah, you know, basically, it's just spring cleaning. Chilling out, relaxing this weekend. Didn't have anywhere really to go, so yay. It's a nice, relaxing weekend.
Gotta love
and
it.
Over to you, sir.
Hey, everybody. This is Travis Ellisor, and I am not a mechanic lad.
That sounds expensive.
Yeah. This morning I got up and I got in my car and I went to crank it and nothing happened. And, nothing happened. The lights came on and that's it. So I called my dad, who is way more mechanically inclined than I am. And he said, well, you know, sounds like the battery's getting some power. He said, but it could be the starter. It could be this. And he had me open up the trunk and checking certain things, and he asked if there was corrosion on the battery, and I said, well, on the left side, but not the right, but not much. I don't think it's affecting it. Anyway, he said he was coming over, bringing some tools, and he's going to try to figure it out. He gets to my place. We pop open the hood. He said, hey, you got a socket set? I said, yeah, in my trunk. I go around to the trunk. I open it up. As soon as I open it up, he says, okay, try to crank it. This has been 30 seconds. And I said, what did you do? He said, just try to crank it. I go to crank it. It cranks right up.
Of course it does.
I'm like, what did you do? He said, oh, the cable on the right side going to the battery was a little loose. He said, the one that looked fine and you didn't touch.
there's a southern dad for you.
Yeah. I was like, oh, okay. I'm.
Thanks,
now,
Dad.
To be fair, I go over and fix his computer or any electronic thing he has ever.
See,
but
there you go. There you go.
That's car nice. Stuff, that's all him. But I felt like a fool, but, you know, whatever. So all's well that ends well.
At least you didn't have to pay to get a wrecker to come out and have him do that for you.
Oh, trust me, I was dreading that. Anyway, over to
outstanding.
You.
Outstanding.
All right, I am Michael Grabois, and today, or at least right now, I am Reboot Lad. Because as I was getting ready to call up my Facebook page to see what happened this week in Legion history, my computer says it has the Windows has detected a problem and needs to reboot. Mm-hmm. And so it is somewhere in the reboot cycle right now.
Oh, that's nice.
There you go.
Everyone's having mechanical difficulties with me, and I'm loving this. It's not me this week. Paul's having weather issues. Oh. Y'all are having mechanical stuff, and I'm sure I just jinxed myself for tomorrow, but right now I don't care. I'm just going to enjoy it. I'm going to bask in the no-drama zone for a change. Yay.
Yeah, Jan said earlier that that after 2 days shut in with the kids and the dogs, she's like, I don't care what I got to drive through to get to work tomorrow.
Wow. Wow. Well, you remember that Donner party.
Exactly.
It's fabulous, except they just serve frozen food, so, you know.
Donner, party of 10.
Oh, my. Wow.
From wow. that to cannibalism.
Well, yeah, boy, that devolved quickly.
That dark. Very dark.
So, Legion news-wise.
I have a little something newsy.
Let's hear it.
A little Legion newsy.
Well, if my computer ever comes back, I could tell you, or I could remind you that Supergirl returns with new episodes Monday night.
Yes.
So if you're hearing this on Tuesday Monday. Morning, then you saw it last night. And we will finally get to find out what they meant by why the Legion is actually back there. And it sounds like it's not for the world killers like Mon-El thought it was.
Yeah, ooh. It seems to be. Yeah, I believe what they're saying is the Legion's real mission presents problems.
Shocker.
So, yes. So, I believe from what Chris Wood said recently in Entertainment Weekly, he said that the Mon-El will find out just how much in the dark his teammates had kept him.
Ooh.
So he thought he was spearheading this mission, but what he didn't know was this plan B was really plan A that was happening without his approval that Imran and Brainy put together.
Is this a pun in the dark and Shadowlass is going to show up? I'm just curious.
Probably not.
Oh, darn.
But I do keep wondering why they haven't revived the other three Legionnaires that are in the stasis pods.
Well, yeah.
So, casting.
Well, at least part of it, right? Budget is always an issue. Anyway, he says that he will find out exactly what the plan was and why they left him out of it. Obviously, it presents some problems from the Legion and for the DEO because there's a level of mistrust that comes from withholding information, which is a lesson Mon-El has learned multiple times, but this time he's on the other side of it.
Ooh.
So, I also think, like, we did already see the costume, right? Like, we saw the costume where they were doing the sort of mini upfronts earlier. As they were sort of showing that as at the sort of the mid-season upfronts that they did. And so, yeah, he's going to have a new costume. We're going to see that pretty soon.
Yeah, I think it's not till the second episode after we come back that we'll see his new red outfit and the reason why he gets that instead of his dark blue DEO uniform. Maybe that means that Saturn Girl will get a upgraded costume as well.
Possible.
Interesting.
Possible.
Well, it certainly remains to be seen. So that's that bit of Legion news. We did already talk last week about how Saturn Girl had shown up in whatchamacallit, you know,
countdown clock or whatever.
Doomsday clock. Yeah.
Doomsday. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah, so she showed up in there briefly, but had a part to play in the story. Mm-hmm. And let's see, what else is there? I think that's all I got.
it's kind of quiet on Legion News.
As usual. So. Yeah. Well, and you know what? The thing is, I think that it's going to remain fairly quiet for a while because we got to wait for Doomsday Clock to end.
Mm-hmm.
And that becomes kind of the thing. That's basically what that's just doing a quick look through again in all of the various sources, and that's pretty much it. Hey, you know what? Actually, let's cover one other thing. Sorry, excuse me. Mike DiCarlo, who was the inker on several Legion issues, has launched a GoFundMe campaign. His wife was hit by a car, basically.
Ow.
Back on March 24th, and she's been in a coma since then. So despite the considerable... what happened was she got struck by a vehicle while walking around her home. The driver had no valid license nor insurance, so... Basically, they've put together this GoFundMe campaign, which has a goal of $9,000. Despite considerable brain trauma, DiCarlo is still hopeful that she'll recover. Her other injuries include a fractured pelvis, a broken knee, and ligament tears. DiCarlo is attempting to raise funds to bring her from Oregon to Indiana for the rest of her treatment, with costs being racked up by the day. And, of course, DiCarlo is famous for working on several DC titles, having inked on the iconic A Death in the Family Batman storyline, as well as titles such as Legion of Superheroes. Of course, we remember him working with Giffen on the last little stretch of the Baxter run. He worked in the 80s inking for esteemed artists such as George Perez, Greg LaRocque, Keith Giffen, and Jim Aparo. He also worked on Crisis on Infinite Earths. I've heard of that. As well as several Warner Brothers cartoons such as Looney Tunes, Animaniacs, and Pinky and the Brain. Among his Marvel credits, he has Fantastic Four under his belt. So this came from CBR, and so it is. I'm going to put the link on the Facebook page. So I just did. Oh, thank you. Thanks, Travis. So there we go. So please, take a look, see if there's anything you can do. Originally the goal was $9,000. It looks like it's moved up to $15,000. As they said, costs are being racked up. So they're at $93.75 of the $15,000 goal. That was raised by 172 people in 23 hours. So that is awesome to see. And if anyone else is able to help, that would be fantastic. And our thoughts go out to the DiCarlos.
Indeed.
Yeah. Yep.
So that is all I've got.
Fair enough.
Yeah. All right. So. We're getting into the next stage, and sort of about a handful of issues of Conway's run left, and
we've got a saga coming up, don't we?
Well, yeah,
or is that but, Thomas? Saga,
but he doesn't work on all of it. He starts it off, and then kind of
starts, and then Thomas finishes it.
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay. We still got about another year to go, though.
Really. Is it a year? Okay.
Yeah, because this is 269, and I think Thomas doesn't come in until about 280, 281, somewhere in there.
Yeah.
Towards the end of the saga, and then he's only on for a few issues before Levitz comes in.
Yeah.
So we still have all the 270s to go with Conway as well.
That's right.
With the occasional Mark DeMatteis issue.
Right, right. Hey, speaking of which... he actually, by coincidence, last Monday, posted a picture of Dr. Mayavale.
Oh, God.
Really?
Yeah, basically, let me actually find the tweet, because this was kind of funny. Let's see, twitter.com. We are, of course, LOSP Podcast. And you can follow us there. So I'm just going to open it up because it's got his. Okay, so he said, basically what he said was, I had a cool concept for a villain. But now this is after he had said, you know, early in my career, wrote a Legion story that is still widely considered to be the worst. He says, I had a cool concept for a villain, but the execution was sorely lacking. And he parenthetically puts, and that's being charitable to my younger self. I was aiming for cosmic absurdity, but the end result was just embarrassing. I present to you Dr. Maya Vale, drawn by Ditko, to my specifications. And it's the picture of him on the floating throne with the, yeah. Dang.
That is the iconic Dr. Maya Vale shot.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I retweeted it and said, you know, the man himself says it down below. We talk about it in episode 495. And so he liked that one. But then I thought to myself, wait a second. I don't want people thinking that we had him on, that he says it on the show. So I did clarify. I said, to clarify, those are two separate events. Jam DeMattis is not on the episode, though. He is welcome anytime. And that is still true.
Sure.
Yeah, so there we have it.
And actually, that tweet that you mentioned, if you go down the replies, Tom Fowler, one of my favorite artists, says, I'm going to draw this tonight.
Yes!
You want to draw Maya Vale. And that's when I saw him post the layout for it on Twitter. And I said, are you drawing Maya Vale? And he said, yeah, which Legionnaire should I have there? And I made sure to say Dream Girl, Karate Kid, and Chameleon Boy. I said, and anyone else you want to throw in. And so he's been working on that throughout the week. And I messaged him and said, hey, is this going to be for anybody? He said, it's going to be for sale if you want it. And I was like, put me down for it. So I'm going to have a Mayaville commission.
Very nice.
You will. I would probably bet that there are, like, all the people who have Dr. Mayaville commissions, maybe like in the fingers of one hand.
Probably so.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
How many hands does Mayaville have? Hold on.
Wait a second.
Green fingers.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. So
it then all comes together. It's the circle of life.
Yes. Exactly. That is so awesome. Yes, Dr. Maya Vale. Yes, so there we go. So see, something good came out of it. all right. So, but things get different now. We actually have, according to this cover, the Fatal Five.
Well, a Fatal Six, technically.
Technically, yes, but we'll see all about that.
Totally.
And of course, there's little Gary Rands, beating up on Mon-El, like you do. So interestingly, we had the Perez cover last month. This month, it is back to Dick Giordano. Mm-hmm. So he's got people running away as Validus runs amok.
Amok, amok, amok.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yes. And we have the Legion roll call on the left-hand side with Garth, Imra, Wildfire, Projectra, and Timberwolf. And on the other side, we have Therok, half-man, half-robot. Menno, his touch means death. The Persuader, he who wields the awesome atomic axe. And Emerald Empress, mistress of the all-powerful Emerald Eye. They're back, but the fearsome Fatal Five, but who is their new leader? And what is his incredible power?
I notice above the Fatal Five, they have their own little logo. Is that the first time we've seen that? I've
probably
never noticed it before.
Might be.
It's probably the one they use for the Who's Who entry for them.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe so.
Maybe.
Well, Who's Who hadn't come out by this point yet.
Yeah, that's true.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So they would end up using it again on the Who's Who issue then. Weird.
Indeed.
Oh, wibbly wobbly timey wimey. Mm-hmm. Anyway, Travis, you missed out on Mayaville last week. You want to take us through this one?
The punishment continues.
No, this one's not a bad story.
Yeah, this one's all right. This one's all right. That's,
and wow. it'll
That's
be
true.
It'll be interesting to see how it reconciles with my memory of this being actually a pretty decent two-part story.
Yeah. I as I said before we started recording, I actually thought this went on for a while. I was surprised that it was only it's only two issues.
It's been a long time since I've read it too, and I remembered it being longer.
Yeah, or maybe it's three. Because or maybe not. I don't know.
Yeah, we'll find out.
Yeah, I guess we'll find out.
We'll see.
Yeah.
Okay, we open up with a splash of the Legion. The caption says, honored by 1,000 worlds, a mighty group of youths stand ready to defend the cause of justice in the 30th century. Each possessing a mighty power, they have banded together as the Legion of Superheroes.
Hooray.
And we have, from left to right, Princess Projectra, Shadow Lass, Mon-El, Shrinking Violet, Wildfire, Lightning Lad, Saturn Girl, Timberwolf, and Colossal Boy. Let's see. Shadow Lass says, Legionnaires, this is what I call a political campaign. Violet says, I know what you're saying, Shady. It's fun. And, of course, Timberwolf, fun? Since when should politics be fun? Wildfire, you must explain this to me. And Colossal Boy says, what's to explain, Wolfie? Tomorrow we vote for Earth's new president. The way you talk, you'd think this was something serious. The name of the story is Who Shall Name the Dark Man? The writer is Jerry Conway. The artists are Jimmy James and Frank. Is it Chiaramonte or Chiaramonte? I'm horrible at pronunciation.
I think it's Chiaramonte.
Chiaramonte. Yeah. Okay. Ben Oda on letters, Gene D'Angelo on colors, and of course Jack C. Harris is the editor. Then we go to a double page splash, which is actually pretty nice.
Mm-hmm.
We have a vote for Radley thing in the top left. There are people everywhere. They appear to be out in a city square of some sort. And there are people everywhere celebrating, dancing, looks like food vendors. I don't know what all is going on here. On the screen, we have a man saying, my fellow Terrans, in these trying times, what we need is compassionate government. That's why I support identification cards for all citizens, so that we'll know who and where you are, allowing our fine bureaucracy a better chance to serve everyone with equal... And we cut him off. Colossal Boy says, After all, the World Computer Bank chooses the candidates on the basis of skill, competence, and decency. Then we pick one of the three candidates after a full day of campaigning, and bingo, new president.
A full day of campaigning.
A whole day.
A whole day.
I kind of wish we had that.
Sounds delightful.
Sounds like that will never happen. So.
And they're chosen on skills, competence, and decency?
What?
Man.
I did not have sexual relations with that woman.
Not at all like what we have now.
No. Mm-mm.
Apparently they left off the swimsuit competition.
Oh, yes.
Evening gown, you know, the interview.
Got to bring that back. Violet says, this is all in a festival atmosphere. Makes as much sense as any other system. And Mon-El is flying up with Shady and Jackie. And Shady says, Mon-El, what are you doing? I'm giving us a bird's eye view of the crowd, Tasmia. Assuming you and Princess Projector don't mind, that is. And Projector says, hardly, quite honestly, Mon, I find this sort of rabble-rousing rather disturbing. It's fortunate governments matter so little anymore. Well, I guess she comes from a monarchy as well.
That's right. Yeah. That's right.
She's like, let the people do their thing.
Yeah.
I know I'm in charge at home. It's fine.
I love that he's flying them up. It's like, they've got flight rings.
Yeah, exactly. Whatever. Bryn Timberwolf thinking the crowd, so many people have to get away, and he is visibly uncomfortable. Lightlass has him by the arm, I guess, trying to comfort him. Next page, we have Colossal Boy and Violet having a conversation, and Violet says, still, letting a computer make your fundamental choices, we'd never do something like that on IMSC. And Colossal Boy says, come on, Violet, think about it. Back in the 20th century, a guy named Arthur Clarke said nobody who wants to be president should be allowed to run.
Amen.
We've just adapted the idea to a system, and that's I kind of agree.
Mm-hmm.
And Violet says, you're very persuasive, Colossal Boy. Yeah, I mean, am I? And he's thinking, keep it up, Jim. The girl's impressed. He says, you see, I got most of my political know-how from my mother. Your mother's a politician? Nope. Gotcha. She's a teacher, dean of Metropolis University, but her subject was old-style politics. She was quite a critic of, huh? Mom? He turns his head in shock. But we cut away back to Mon-El, Shady, and Projectra. And Shady says, Mon, I've been thinking. And Mon-El says, do I get to hear it for free, or do you want a penny? I guess we still have pennies in the 30s.
We still have pennies.
Oh, yes. There you go. Yeah, you guys will have them forever.
Can't get rid of them. Shady says, the weather's so nice, why are we wasting it in the city? And Mon-El says, sounds like you've got something in mind, Tasmia. And she says, you bet I do, as she rubs against his ear. Then she winks at him and says, the beach coming? And Projector says, if it's okay with you two, I'd just as soon stay here. With my complexion, I have a tendency to sunburn. And she's running into a flagpole, maybe? I guess Mon-El let go of her, and she
forgot. Yeah, she's like, hang on, yeah. Hang on.
All right, see you later.
And Projector thinks, next time I volunteer to stay behind when those two want to head off alone, I'll make certain I'm on solid ground. That pair is certainly very much in love. And I don't guess she has.
She's got like a... Well, no, she looks like she's got a young love expression on her face. Like, when will I ever find love?
Yeah.
Yeah. Where's Val? Colossal Boy says, Shrinking Violet, Lightning Leg, don't you see? That's my mother. My mom. That's... And, well, it colored like Shady, but I'm guessing that's supposed to be something else.
That'd be Violet, yeah.
Yeah, I'd guess so. She says, uh-oh, Jim's getting hysterical. And next page, Saturn Girl says, it's shock, Violet. I've seen it before when people are confronted with the emotionally unexpected. Jim, you're all right. You're among friends. Now, please tell us what's wrong. He says, wrong? Nothing's wrong, Saturn Girl. I'm fine, I think. But you're right. I was hit by something pretty heavy and unexpected. And that was... And cut to Lightning Lad and Light Lass. Garth says, you know, sis, I wish I had had a hoorah like this when I was elected Legion leader.
Mm.
You know how it is, Garth. The less substance to a political office, the more pomp.
When did this issue come out?
Yeah. And
80s?
Yeah. Early 80s. Timberwolf says, what are we supposed to be looking for, big guy? Timberwolf is apparently more comfortable now. He's not freaking out. And we look up on the screen, and we see Colossal Boy's mom, and he says, the public view screen, Wildfire. I could see over the crowd, and when I saw that face, I couldn't believe it. Garth asks, why, Jim? That's just another one of the three candidates. And Colossal Boy says, it's also my mother, Lightning Lad. Get it? My mom is running for president of Earth. And as the other Legionnaires experience a stunned reaction of their own,
so
we cut away.
I look at it.
I'm
this
just
is
plain stunned.
November of 1980. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Very
and, if I can bring up my browser, if I remember correctly, this would have come out in August of 1980. So the political conventions were just going on.
Yeah.
For the 1980 election, although this would have been written and drawn much earlier in the year during the primaries.
Yeah, but I mean, yeah, you know, it's a full year process for sure anyway, so.
Yes, unfortunately.
And probably was back then, if I remember correctly. Because this would have been Reagan.
This was Reagan and Carter.
Reagan v. Carter, yeah. So, so yes, I think there's a certain amount of metatext going on here.
Oh yeah. Okay. We cut away and, we have a large pink and red spaceship and a smaller blue one that says UP on the back. and says, half a light year beyond the outer reaches of the solar system, two corrupt border guards of the United Planets Patrol are about to experience a similar reaction. And from the UP ship, where you see some word balloons, Lord, are you sure that's his ship? It's so huge. It's his ship, all right. The Dragonbane. Look, one of the portals is opening. I guess we go in. And the two UP guards, the corrupt ones, get off into the ship, and it's dark, and there are cobwebs. And one of them says, I'll say this for him. He travels in style. But look at this place. Cobweb, dusty, it's deserted. You're wrong, partner. It isn't deserted. He's got all the company he needs, and we see some monstrous creatures. They appear to be in water, and one of the UP guards says, ooh, Sirius and sea apes in their own aquarium. Ugly monsters.
I wonder if that's a takeoff on the Sea Monkeys ads.
Possibly. And they are approaching a ball that kind of looks like one of the time bubbles, but I don't think it is one. And one of the guys says, you stay back there in the docking area. I'll make the report and collect the reward. Corridor only leads one way, but this room looks empty. Anybody here? And we see a figure inside the ball, and he is completely dark. And he says, I am here, insolent scum, on your knees.
Oh, my.
And the UP guy says, hey, I don't kneel for anyone, mister. You may have bribed me and my partner, but that doesn't mean I said on your knees. And we see a energy surround the UP guy, and he starts struggling, but he's being pulled down to the ground. What are you doing to me? Feels like my whole body's burning. Stop it. Oh, please stop it. And the dark figure says, kneel, scum, kneel when you address the dark man. And the UP guy says, all right, I'm kneeling. Please stop the pain.
Sounds like somebody forgot their safe word.
Uh-huh. The safe word is copay.
And the energy disappears, and instead of kneeling, he's now sitting on his butt. And the dark man says, done. You have tasted only a little of my power, small man. Be grateful I'm in a gentle mood. Yeah, sure, thanks. And he thinks, laugh now, Buster. Somehow I'll get you for what you did to me. I swear it. The dark man says, to business. You have the device that will permit my vessel to enter our security perimeter undetected. And the UP guy says, I got it right here. And I went through a lot to, I care not, give it here. And it's a little red device, looks like a press a button or something. And he said, the UP guy says, okay, your remote mechno hand has snatched what you wanted. What about our reward? And I got to point out, the dark man's left hand is mechanical. Looks kind of like a robotic arm, but it also looks like it only has three fingers. And the dark man says, you'll find your reward in the next room. It will be more than you expected. And the UP guy goes running in there, and it looks like stacks of gold coins. And he says, stars and planets, he wasn't lying. There's enough wealth here to buy a small moon. And the dark man says, one more thing, my unfortunate friend. It may interest you to know that my power is partly telepathic in nature. You really should have learned to control your thoughts. I have no use for hirelings who plan revenge against me. Hopefully your partner will be easier to deal with. And we see the floor disappearing under the UP operative, and water underneath. And what is he dropping into? Oh, it's all those sea creatures he didn't like earlier. And he says, no, the floor was an illusion, some kind of tank below. And the corrupt officer has no breath to waste on a scream. He glimpses movement, flashing teeth and claws, and then darkness and death take him in final embrace.
It's a very Dr. Evil moment here.
It very much is.
$1 million. But wait.
And we cut away again, and a short time later, after a new deal has been struck with the patrol ship's remaining officer, and after the survivor has been sent on his way, the mechanical arm from the dark man's globe attaches the stolen security bypass device to the vessel's computer. Instantly, a tachyon field springs up around the Dragonbane, visible briefly as it forms, then fading from view. There isn't a detection device on Earth capable of perceiving the Dragonbane now. And the robotic arm is actually attached to the bubble. It wasn't the Dark Man's actual arm, as we see now. Swiftly now, the ship changes orbit and trajectory and takes a cometary path towards the distant sun. 93 million miles from the sun, it will change orbit again. Its ultimate destination, the planet Earth. We cut back to Earth and the beach, which actually looks like a path through the grass near water. Not so much sandy beaches. And at that moment, on a beach bordering an ocean of the planet in question, Shady asks Mon-El, "Do you realize how long it's been since we were alone like this, Mon-El?" He says, "I know one thing, Tasmia. It's been too long." And they kiss under the moon. How romantic.
Boom, chicka bow, bow.
So a couple of minor things. First, they left in the daytime. They left the big gathering in the square in the daytime, and now it's nighttime. So what were they doing that whole time?
No, Michael, if you have to ask.
I'm not asking. I'm just leaving it to the reader to fill in the blanks. The other thing is that the coloring on Shadowlass in this issue, instead of looking like a bikini, now has a darker blue tint, making it look more like a one piece with black highlights.
Hmm. Yeah, and on the next page, actually, her face is put darker, and her hand. It's very inconsistent. But on the next page, Shady points out a flaming object coming through the sky, and she says, "You're right, much too long, darling. Look, a shooting star. On Talak, we call it the Dreaming Star. What's your dream, Mon?" And he says, "I have all I could ever want, Tasmia, as long as I have you." Oh, how sweet. "But you know something? I'm not so sure that was a meteoroid. It's too small to have gotten through the atmosphere without burning up. Perhaps we'd better investigate? You could be right, Mon. Besides, I doubt we could recapture our romantic mood with you wondering about that meteoroid." And Mon-El says, "Sorry, Taz, old habits die hard," and they fly off towards where it landed in the water. And then Shady says, "To tell the truth, darling, I'm a little curious myself. I guess we share the same habits, even when moons of Talak, Mon-El, look."
Now, for a second here, it looks like they're doing the Batusi in this panel.
Yeah, they're
their sudden stop.
Flying a little strangely.
Yeah. I think that's to signify the sudden stop.
Yeah. And then we cut to the water and we see something starting to rise out of it, a very large object. And my apologies, Mon, no meteorite erupted underwater. There is something strange about that star stone. It's not a meteorite. And there's someone inside it. And then with a loud roar, we see Validus emerge from the water. And Mon-El says, "It's Validus. And if he's here, then the rest of the Fatal Five can't be far behind."
Yeah.
Next page.
Just like babysitting duty, seriously. We just wanted to go to the beach for a minute.
Yeah.
Well, we all know what happens every time Mon-El and Shady take time off.
Yes, they get ambushed by something.
Yeah,
it happens. Disaster. Yep. I'm just wondering, this asteroid really couldn't have landed deep in the ocean because Validus, as far as I know, does not have the power to land to stand on water. So.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, so, you're right. Yeah. It's somewhat shallow. Yeah.
Yeah, it's. I would say it's very shallow.
Yes.
Okay, Validus grabs Shady, and she says, "Mon, flee, warn the others." And he says, "You're joking, right? Do you really imagine I'll leave you in the grip of this overgrown glass dome nightmare? I love you, Tasmia. I'm not leaving without you." And he punches Validus in the head, and it doesn't look like it does much. And then all of a sudden, we hear a voice from this aside somewhere, and it says, "A touching sentiment. We'll do our best to accommodate you, Legionnaire." And we see Mon-El get hit in the head by an atomic axe. And not hit in the head as in sliced, as kind of hit on the, I don't know, it's a spike top. I don't know where he was hit, but
I think it was the handle hit him.
Yeah, maybe so. And he says, ooh. And he goes flying to the ground. So powerful was the blow that sends him reeling backward. The Scarlet Garb Legionnaire literally plows a trough in the rocky shoreline. Till at last he comes to rest, dazed and barely conscious. And no iTunes, I do not want to update. Why are you interrupting me?
Stop it, you.
Quit it. We see the Atomic Axe go flying back into someone's hand. And he says, consider yourself lucky, Mon-El. A few centimeters closer and my Atomic Axe would have sheared off your skull. And guess who has the Atomic Axe?
Wait.
Bob Hope. Bob Hope has it.
Yes.
Close.
Okay.
It's the Persuader.
Yeah, I figured.
He's not wearing his mask, though. Oh, and his head sure looks shiny. He says, but that would hardly have suited our plans. And in any case, the Persuader is not an unnecessary vicious man. Actually, I thought he was.
Yeah. Seriously.
What he's saying is not unnecessarily so. I guess it's a sliding scale as to what he considers necessary.
Yeah, true. I guess it's all opinions. And like the last Jerry Conway story, we have Valdis talking for some reason.
Rarg.
Yeah. He says, Persuader, we have legionnaires. Now we kill them.
Hulk. I was just going to say, I'm now picturing him talking like Solomon Grundy.
Yeah, it's, I don't know.
Solomon Grundy hates Super Friends.
Solomon Grundy hates Mon-El. Squish Blue Lady. Persuader says, no, Valdis. We were told simply to capture them. For some reason, Tharok wants them intact when he... And then we hear, Arr, thwack! As Shady hits Valdis' hands and he releases her, she says, even Valdis has sensitive pressure points. He's let go in reflex, giving me a chance to escape. But how can I leave Mon-El?
There's that young love face again.
Yeah. And she says, answer, I can't. But while Valdis is raging mindlessly, blocking the Persuader and his deadly atomic axe, I can activate my Porta summons on the emergency band and use my remaining precious seconds free to reach Mon. And Valdis is coming right behind her. Valdis, kill! And she scoops up Mon-El, thinking, no way I can create shadows for concealment at night. I don't know why not.
Yeah.
But at least my strength is at its peak.
Hold on. She thinks she's Night Girl now? Someone thinks she's Night Girl. Just saying.
Take a drink.
Take a drink, kids. Take a drink. Someone's gotten somebody confused.
That's right. Oh. Anyway. She says, we'll need all my speed to get out of here. Valdis is still between us and the Persuader. Now if our luck holds out just a little longer. And something makes her stop and say, Shades of Tharok, no. And we clearly see she has her flight ring here, and she has been flying, so why Mon-El was lifting her earlier, we still don't know.
Yeah.
He was and just they are in, Mon-El.
Yeah. They are encased in a bubble of green energy. And she says, a sphere appearing around us out of nowhere. We're going to crash. And who on earth could create a bubble of green energy? Let's find out.
Mm-hmm.
That might also appear when we see Validus and Persuader.
Mm. Yes. I'm thinking maybe Mano? Maybe? Ron no, Vidar. No.
The Green Lantern?
Maybe? Ron Carr?
You say Mano, I say Mino.
Shocked to awareness by the sudden impact, Mon-El rouses himself to see the Emerald Empress.
What?
She used the mind over matter power of her emerald eye to snap us up like night flies. That spaceship must be the meteorite we spotted. Valdis says, now we kill them? Valdis can't get over it. The Empress says, don't be so eager, Valdis. Their time will come. Tharok has plans for all the legionnaires, I'm told. And Persuader says, you're told? Since when are you Tharok's sole confidant, Empress? We despise the Legion as much as you. When shall we have satisfaction? The Empress says, threaten me with your axe again, Persuader, and I'll return it to you in pieces. Now load our prisoners aboard ship. We have many miles to go before we sleep tonight. And we cut away to Timberwolf sitting in a chair, I'm guessing in a monitor room of some sort. We hear a bleep, bleep. And it says, not long after, as the Grimace Legionnaire makes a late night check of the Legion headquarters mission monitor room. And he says, a malfunction in the monitor board. One of the Legionnaires tried to summon aid from Metropolis Beach not more than an hour ago. But the computer, but the clubhouse computer only activated the alarm now. We were so busy rebuilding our headquarters, we failed to triple check our equipment. That failure may have cost a life. I must waste no time. And he goes throughout the headquarters looking for different Legionnaires. And it says, he is the most solemn of Legionnaires and perhaps the most solitary. Where others seek out human contact, he turns away. Seeing Lightning Lad and Saturn Girl embracing, he moves on, unwilling to disturb husband and wife, unwilling to become briefly involved. They are smooching in their...
Until he's on the asteroid with one of them, and wow.
Yeah, well, yeah, no. Yeah, that's still about 2 years away. And it says, he pauses only once to look in at the woman he loves, Lightlass. She sleeps, and again, he resists contact. He is called Timberwolf now, but once he was the Lone Wolf. Tonight, he will be the Lone Wolf again. And, I mean, we're having an emergency with a Fatal Five. I think it's worth waking some people up. But, Hey, that's me.
Yeah, he, you know, that Timberwolf, he's just a loner, a rebel, Dottie.
Let's see. A tower in central Metropolis where the campaign festival continues for several other Legionnaires that we've cut away. I'm sorry. Though, on a more personal note than for their fellow citizens, we see the inside of a room with a Colossal Boy, Wildfire, and some others, and of course, Princess Projectra and some others. Shrinking Violet, and Jim's mom. And Colossal Boy says, Mom, Dad, I'd like to offer a toast to the next president of Earth. Is it Marta, Alon?
Marte.
Marte?
Yeah.
Okay.
Marte.
And she says, Jim, I'm flattered, but honestly, I hardly think I have a chance to win. And Violet says, don't sell yourself short. You're just what Earth needs, tough, intelligent, and kind. The director says, really, this all seems so odd to me. On my homeworld of Orando, we have government by nobility. Our royal family is trained to serve as leaders. We leave nothing so serious to political chance. Colossal Boy says, Wildfire, you talk to her. Tell her how democracy works. Wildfire says, explain democracy to a princess? Jim, you're a dreamer. Besides, if Princess Projectra were going to be my queen someday, I'm not so sure I wouldn't give monarchy a try. And next page, we have Jim talking to his dad, and he says, Dad, you look like you always used to when it was time for a father-son talk. And Mr. Alon says, that's right, Jim. Mind if we step outside for some privacy? Mm. Jim says, give me one guess. This is about Mom, right? He says, son, have you thought about what your situation is going to be if Marte wins tomorrow? And Jim says, I don't get it. How could Mom being president affect, you're talking about the Legion. And his dad said, it could present problems. You know that the Legion is a political hot potato these days. There might be questions of conflict of interest. And Colossal Boy says, yes, so? Dad, I know Mom will do whatever is right, regardless of how it affects me. And I know the Legion is right, regardless of politics. We're needed. Sure, we had difficulty with the last president, but that doesn't mean we were wrong. I'll always trust Mom to, Dad, what's the matter? And we see coming in on a pair of flying discs like Mr. Miracle uses.
Yes.
It's Mano. And his dad, Jim's dad, says, get down, and knocks Colossal Boy down, which...
Take a drink.
Cthulhu. Nice.
And Colossal Boy is already pretty large, but his dad puts him down pretty easily. And Mano is projecting his hand's destruction power. I thought he had a touch, but I guess it's...
Wibbly wobbly.
Anything else right now.
Yeah.
Yep, pretty much.
And Colossal Boy says, Mano, one of the Fatal Five. The last time we saw you guys, you were trying to become respectable. You okay, Dad? Just dazed, Jim. And Colossal Boy says, you're pretty lucky. If you'd hurt my father with that deadly right hand of yours, I might have gotten angry. And he rips a column out of the ground and swings it at Mano like a bat, knocking him way back. And we have a Batoom.
That counts.
Yeah, good enough.
Yeah, have a drink. It rhymes.
Mano, of course. Colossal Boy, of course, knocked him, Mano, into the room where his mom and the other Legionnaires are, which is probably not what he intended, but, you know, it's Jim. He's good at cracks.
Steering is not his thing.
No, not at all.
Not at all.
And his mom says, good heavens! And Wildfire says, Mano, what's he doing here? Shrieking Violet, grab Jim's mom and get her out of danger. I'm the only one of us who can handle this character with energy blasts of my own. And then a voice off to the side says, perhaps I can help Wildfire, if you'll let me. And Mano says, something's happening to the room. The walls are fading away. It's getting hot. And the room looks like inside of a volcano, and looks like some lava-type creatures are coming out towards Mano. He's cowering down on his knees, and he says, "Please, no, please, take me away. Take me away from here. Yeah! And we cut to Princess Projectra, who is, of course, causing that. And she says, all right, Marte, that illusion I projected for Mano should keep him busy till we get you to a flyer. We only have to hope none of the other members of his group are. And she says, I think we've just lost that hope, Princess.
Yep, pretty much.
And here we see Tharok, the leader of the Fatal Five. And Violet says, you two make tracks. I'll try to cover your rear. And we have Tharok say, I've made some adjustments to my robot half since last we met, Legionnaire. My weaponry is more subtle now, though I promise you it is no less effective. And he sends out some little bubble-looking things, and Violet says, stun bubbles! Jackie, don't let them touch you, or the concussion will... And they get knocked out. But then Mano appears to be in pain as he throws his head back, saying... well, I guess first he said this.
That's Tharok, not Mano.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Tharok, he says, see, women, there are advantages to being half-man, half-freak. The disaster that destroyed my left side and made me a monster also provided me a unique opportunity to create myself. I am what I have made myself, and I owe no one for... Arr! The pain!
The pain!
It's splitting my brain apart. Yes, I hear you. I obey you. Haven't I done as you commanded and captured these Legionnaires? Why must you torment me so? You, woman, count yourself fortunate tonight. I will let you be, for I have what I came for. And he picks up Violet and leaves. Then we see the other standing over Mano, who is still on the ground. And Jim's dad says, it's fantastic. You mean this Mano actually has the destructive power of a nuclear device in his hands? And Jim says, not both of them, Dad. Only the right one. Wildfire says, on your toes, Colossal Boy. Jackie's illusion is wearing off. Be ready for Mano to attack. And Mano says, attack? No, I won't attack you, Legionnaires. Why risk personal injury in a fight now when trickery can do the job? And he puts his hand on the ground and, boom, destroys the floor. The Legionnaires go toppling. And he says, you know what your ancestors like to say, Colossal Boy? It's more, the more massive their bulk, the more devastating their landing. Not exactly, but close enough, I guess.
Yeah.
Mano says, or something like that. I'm not a student of archaic expressions. Then he says, ah, there's the spaceship Tharok warned us to expect. I still don't understand the connection between Tharok and the being who commands that vessel. Still, Tharok is our leader. And who are we to question Tharok's partnership with the Dark Man?
Dun, dun, dun.
The mystery of the Dark Man continues next issue on sale September 25th.
And I have confirmed it is 3 issues. So it goes 270 and 271 as well. And
woohoo!
I gotta say, I enjoyed this one. This actually, you know, coincidentally with what it's going to entail, because we kind of know parts of where this is going. It reminds me very much of that Super Assassin story, which I quite liked.
Which Conway also wrote.
He did, yeah. So, I mean, he had his moments. He definitely had his moments. And I think he's in the midst of one with this.
Yeah, for every space circus of death, you get a Darkman story, so...
Yeah, yeah. The price we gotta pay, apparently.
It's a steep price.
It is, absolutely. But anyway, so there we have it. Anyone got anything else to cover?
A few items for this week in Legion history.
Yes.
So it was 40 years ago, April 17th, 1978, Superboy and Legion 241, which is in the middle of Earth War. 35 years ago, April 21st, 1983, was Legion number 301. And if you think about... Yeah. If you think, you know, you have 5 years in between these two issues, think about all that happened in between Earth War and we're now in the, you know, the Giffen-Levitz issues. Yeah. And then such a quantum leap in story and art from them. Oh,
absolutely.
30 years ago, April 19th, 1988, was Legion V3, number 49. Which, if I remember correctly, was that was part of the conspiracy arc, right? That led into issue 50.
It was indeed.
25 years ago was Legion V4, number 44, which was the Legion of Super Zombies.
Oh. Yes. Oh.
Then we skip ahead to 10 years ago, April 16th, 2008, we had DC Wildstorm Dream War. Which I bought, but I never read. It had something to do with DC heroes and Wildstorm heroes. And then I think at the end, it was all revealed to be a dream, a hoax, or an imaginary story or something like that.
But aren't they all? The DC characters, I think, were all from inside a guy's head. I think it was it took place in the Wildstorm universe, and there was a kid who read DC comics, which I guess existed there. So he just took versions of them from his head, and they interacted with the Wildstorm characters.
Oh, okay.
it was kind of a mixed bag.
Yeah.
I was joking when I said a dream, a hoax, or imaginary story. I didn't realize that was actually the case.
Yeah.
And then also, Showcase presents Legion Volume 2, the big, thick black and white book. And let's see, 5 years ago, Legion V7, number 19, that had, I don't have much memory of that, but it had something to do with the Emerald Empress is on the cover, the team in chaos, as Earth's champion falls, and it had something to do with the Legion is lost and hurtling into the sun. Is it possible to save them all?
I think it wasn't possible.
It was one of those fold-out covers.
Yes. Huh.
Anyway, so that was 5 years ago. And then 960 years from now, April 18th, 2978, which is a coincidence with what we are reading tonight. When the Earth is menaced by the Sun Eater, the Legion is forced to enlist the help of the Fatal Five.
Oh, my goodness. It's the anniversary of the creation.
And then 2 days later, April 20th, 2978, the Legion and the Fatal Five try and fail to stop the Sun Eater. Therok builds an Absorbitron bomb, which Superboy volunteers to carry to the creature's core. Pharaoh-led slugs Superboy and carries the bomb himself, destroying the Sun Eater at the cost of his own life. Oops, spoilers, sorry.
Oh. It's okay. It's 1,000 years. We'll forget by then.
Yeah, and remember, this is not... this didn't happen in 1978. This is from the from the Beerbaum's 2095 source book, where they went back and said, okay, each leader had 1 year of tenure, and so they kind of fit all of Legion history to that timeline. And 2978 is where this one fell out.
Yeah, that was a neat way of looking at it. I really liked their way of figuring out the timeline on that. All right, then.
Indeedy.
So there we have our history of...
and our history lesson has been given.
Exactly. And now I think we might have, if we didn't say the issue number off the top, it was issue 269.
Oh, yeah.
We totally forgot to do that last week and may have forgotten to do it this week. So just in case.
Well, last week's, you know. Come on.
Yeah. Well, I actually, our friend Basta Moss emailed me about it. He said, "So what happened to mentioning the issue number?" And I said, "Well, we've been trying to. I guess we forgot." I said, "But you know, if we can make it harder for people to find Dr. Maivale, I'd consider it."
Then we're doing a good job.
Yeah. I don't think that's such a bad thing for us to do. But yeah. So this one was 269. I will put it in the show notes so that it is. Readily available to folks who want to read along with us.
Woohoo!
All right, then. Let's wrap this up. Comments, as always, welcome to Legion of Substitute Podcasters @gmail.com. You can join in the conversation on our Facebook page, which can be found at facebook.legionofsubstitutepodcasters.com. We are on the Twitter. We are LOSP Podcast. And in addition to all these things, you can head over to our website, legionofsubstitutepodcasters.com, and you can leave a comment on this or any episode. And with that, we make our way back into the time bubble, and we will see you all next week.
Yay for election shenanigans.